Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
The policy of this show is we have on people like James Carville and Chuck Todd, who know more about politics than anybody in the world, and I will not ask them a question.
I'm laughing that in the last 2 days you've had Chuck Todd and James Carville
on. Not a question.
And yet, your only take on the hearings have come from Kevin and I.
Yeah, that's what I want to do.
It's smart.
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
All righty, then. Let's read this billboard. This episode of the Tony Kornheiser Show is brought to you by Amazon Alexa Skills. Find your favorite skills today. Just say, Alexa, what are your popular skills on any Alexa-enabled device? I have an Alexa at home. I have not asked it yet because I forgot. But I will get to it eventually. We're at Chatter. Leon Harris is here. Gary Braun is here. Michael Kornheiser is here. Nigel is going to produce the show, run the board, do the news. Let me give you a quick update. We have Monday Night Football. Look, if you're looking for a place to go watch sports today,
Where would that be?
With people of your ilk.
Any ideas?
Of your ilk. Come to Chatter. We've got baseball on in the afternoon. We've got two wild card preliminary games to see who wins the division, who's in the wild card in the National League. That starts whenever the Cubs start, like 1 o'clock.
That's early.
And then you go straight through with baseball, and then you get Monday Night Football. And Monday Night Football tonight, Kansas City, Denver, is worth watching. That should be a very, very good game. You get to see Patrick Mahomes. This is something you want against Von Miller. This is what you want to watch. Our schedule this week is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
That's right.
I'm going to take Friday off. Let me get to a couple of things.
But also, if you're a big drinker, they will just there's no chance of being cut off here. They will just serve you and serve you.
We've got nomination libations, confirmation libation.
And by the way, I should point out to everybody, there is one
Brett Kavanaugh specials.
There's one TV at the bar dedicated just on an endless loop. It plays Mr. 3000.
So there you go.
And watch that here.
No, I was in here yesterday, and a woman was at the bar, and she was watching the football, and she said, "Do you ever have soccer?" And I said, "Yeah, we could, we would."
Once every 4 years.
I said, "Well, put you over there in the corner with Meshmu and Saliva, and you just go right over there with that pledge class." But we'll do it.
You don't want to have that the Washington Mystics situation. What was?
I don't want that.
No.
Natasha.
Wendy Rieger and I were trying to come up with different drink ideas that you should have for the confirmation libation.
Yeah.
Do you have the Kavanaugh blackout?
No, we don't have that. We should have that.
You shouldn't have that.
We should have Wendy in here as a celebrity bartender.
Absolutely.
Not like Wendy's not done that before. She's been a celebrity bartender, and she's great. From Ben and Tom Hawley in Las Vegas, we're a pair of Las Vegas littles who rarely get to our nation's capital. We've now made the pilgrimage to Chatter, but it was over the weekend, so we missed the pod. A few days ago, you made Diego's, the official bail bond outfit for the Tony Kornheiser show. Could this spur-of-the-moment selection perhaps be withdrawn and replaced with the much more appropriate Mr. Tony's bail bonds? We know a thing or two about trouble here in Sin City, and when you're in a pinch, you want to call the pros and get bonded out by Mr. Tony's bail bonds. Thanks for all the good times in its various incarnations and for considering our suggestion. So I didn't know what this was about till I looked at the pictures that were sent to me. There apparently is a Mr. Tony's bail bond.
Yes, it's a real thing.
In Las Vegas.
For all your bail bond needs.
How could I not affiliate with them? Also,
that's awesome.
From John Stadola, Gonzaga, class of 1965, Notre Dame, class of 1969, so he's my age. Hey, Grandpa, enclosed is a power failure lamp so you won't kill yourself walking down the stairs after Pepco cuts off your power. Just pop it in a wall socket near the stairs and you're in business. It lights up when the power goes off. Just a word of warning, Chessie may eat it. Another word of warning, Michael may hide it, so you will indeed fall down the stairs and break your neck. Inheritance, baby. So I'll take that home. That's very good to have.
And he's grinning.
Here's what we're gonna start with football. There were five fabulous endings. I mean, Wilbon's going to be on in a little while, and he's going to say how bad the NFL is. Defense is gone.
No.
You know, you can take that position if you want, but let's start with Cincinnati over Atlanta.
Oh, my God.
Do you root only for Cleveland, Leon, or Cincinnati as well?
No.
You're a native son of Ohio.
I was a season ticket holder for the Falcons.
For the Falcons?
Yeah, exactly. I was on the phone. I had an MC gig yesterday, so I'm on the stage, and I'm getting buzzed by my guys who were in the stands at that game. It was ridiculous.
Andy Dalton with a very late touchdown pass to A.J. Green.
Yeah.
Andy Dalton, who, I grant you, stinks in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But he's had a very good season so far.
He's a Kirk Cousins.
They beat Atlanta late. Atlanta, a team with Super Bowl pretensions, is now 2-2 or 1-2-1?
They are 1-3.
1-3. 1-3. Yeah. 1-3. Cincinnati 3-1. That's a good win. The Cowboys over the Lions.
Didn't see
a late field goal as time expires. The Lions, by the way, in the new gray unis. Nice.
I like those uniforms.
Nice uniforms. Nice,
like a pewter.
Yeah. So the Cowboys.
Todd had that, by the way.
The Cowboys get a late fourth down. I believe it's a fourth down pass from Dak Prescott to Ezekiel Elliott for about 40 yards and sets up a field goal the end, and they win that game.
Ah.
Houston over Indy, a very controversial game.
I saw the end of that.
Andrew Luck was great. He was great.
What happened to him not being able to throw 40 yards?
He can throw it deep now. Yep. Threw it 50 in the air. Andrew Luck gets the ball back, a minute, whatever, no timeouts, gets the six, gets the two, gets the overtime. Luck makes these passes. They look great. Are they on the road in Houston?
No, they were home.
They're home.
They were home. Yeah.
So Houston.
Trying to get Bill O'Brien fired.
Yes, Houston, which hadn't won all year. They go, they have the ball in the overtime. They are fourth and four from their own 43. There's less than a minute left.
Right.
Much less than a minute left.
Was it fourth and four? Was it that much?
I think it was fourth and four.
Okay.
And Frank Reich, who we know from the University of Maryland.
Yep.
Frank Reich is a stand. Look, I think what he did was stupid, me personally. But what he said afterwards was, 10 times out of 10, we're going for the win.
We're not going for the tie.
We're going for the win.
Yeah.
Pass was incomplete. Deshaun Watson hits a pass. There's room for a field goal. Boom. Field goal, and Houston wins that game. What do we think of Reich's decision? In his own territory.
How do you not want to play for a guy like that?
Yeah.
In his own territory.
Oh, yeah.
They're now 1-3.
No. So, obviously.
It's okay with you.
Yes. If you're a player, you're like, give me a shot. Give me a chance.
We would do. You go in that locker room
every single time.
It looks bad this morning.
It does look bad.
I will say
it's
that.
Not like you're not going
now,
to
if they convert that and they win that game, they go to 2-2. Houston is 0-4. You essentially, you've knocked Houston out
of your division. That's a division game. You're for it.
Because look, today it doesn't look good because they didn't make it.
But if they did make it,
how are you able to coach that team next week, next year, if you did make it?
Yeah.
It's a whole different thing.
Okay.
Think about it like if you're a college coach. You go for it like that, and how easy is it to recruit after that game if you win it?
It's easy to recruit offensive guys.
Exactly. You make that call and you pull it off, it's a hell of a lot easier
Not as bad as when Belichick did it against the Colts some years ago on a Monday night game, I want to say. On like his 30-yard line early in overtime with different rules. So
Seattle beats Arizona. Josh Rosen throws a great pass in the end zone late. Seattle, now 2-2, a team that I thought might be 0-4, though they lost Earl Thomas.
Earl Thomas when he came off the field?
Not happy.
Flipping the bird to his own team.
TK salute to his own sideline.
To his own team, because he's angry over not getting a new contract.
Yeah.
He's angry over
that. Actually, at that point, I think he was angry about having broken his leg without the new contract.
Seattle wins that game. They get a 52-yard field goal from Sebastian Janikowski, who is going to the Hall of Fame.
Crazy.
Because he has more 50-pluses than anybody in history by a wide margin. So when it comes to vote, and you say, oh, he's a kicker. Oh, no. He goes.
Yeah, he's in.
Vinatieri goes. He goes. Goskowski goes. Yeah.
He appears to be close to 300 pounds now, too. Like a two-gapper. You can put him at D-tackle if you needed to fill.
Okay. Tennessee over the Eagles in overtime. Tennessee fourth down calls by Mike Vrabel. He says, we're not going for the tie. He gives the ball to Mariota. Mariota makes a pass. It's the same situation as these other games where you put the ball in the hands of your quarterback and you say, make us happy. And although the Eagles got a field goal in overtime, the Eagles are now 2-2. Guess who's number one in the NFC East now?
Washington Redskins.
Mariota gets, they win it. They win it in overtime with a touchdown.
Yeah.
Vrabel does the same thing essentially, though not from his own territory.
Yeah.
He eschews, as we like to say, the tie, and he goes for the win. That's a great ending.
What's that say about the Eagles, though? Are the Eagles any good?
I think Wentz needs some time.
Wentz? Yeah, he didn't play poorly.
They got the touchdown with 11 seconds to go. Yeah. They were in a position where if they didn't get that, they had one more play and they had to kick a field goal.
And they had
to settle for the tie. And in the game that was, I think, the most wrenching of all, And it doesn't have the most effect on the standings, but it's killing Leon Harris. And it is one of the bad beats of all time for Chuck Todd.
You're going there.
One of the bad beats of
Chuck
all time.
Chuck was 4-1 yesterday.
Chuck had Cleveland 2.5.
We got screwed.
Here's what happened.
We got screwed.
Derek Carr, because he's from Akron.
We got screwed.
Okay. Derek Carr, Cleveland is winning. Derek Carr does exactly what Andrew Luck does. With no timeouts, with no time to go, he goes down the field, he hits the 6, and then he hits the 2. All right, so now you're in overtime, and it appears that Cleveland, before that, it appears that Cleveland is going to win the game because their running back makes a first down.
Yes.
Clearly
on a third and
over.
2, Carlos Hyde.
Carlos Hyde.
It appears to get to the mark.
It looked to me like he got to the mark.
He needed 2, he got 2.5.
The first pull of the chain has him getting the first down, and I actually thought they gave him a bad spot. Yeah. That's what I thought. Then John Gruden, bless his heart, needs to win, throws the flag, and I've never seen them reverse a spot. I've never seen it. They reversed the spot and Carr got
the
ball.
Did he throw the flags? It was inside
minutes. He threw the flag. They told him put it back because it's reviewed.
Right.
Not just reverse a spot. But to take it back as far as they did was ridiculous. I mean, it was almost like they took it like 3 feet back.
It didn't seem to be confirmed by the video.
No, yeah. Not even close.
And that's even close.
So then the Browns are forced to punt.
And then Carr goes down the field.
Yeah.
And then in overtime, they win.
Yeah.
You know, they win, and they win by 3 because you can't win by less than 3 in overtime. And if you get plus 2.5, you're a dead man, which is one of the worst beats of all time. And those games... All of those games were thrilling, right?
Yeah,
that's it. But again, we'll take a rookie quarterback scoring 42 points. We'll take that.
Well, to this point, all four rookie quarterbacks drafted high in the first round started yesterday. The reason Lamar Jackson doesn't start is because Joe Flacco's having a pretty good year.
Yeah,
he's having a pretty good year.
They get Jackson some touches, though. From that Browns-Raiders game, the very cool line of the day, the college-looking line of the day, was rookie Nick Chubb, who had 3 carries for 105 yards and 2 touchdowns.
So two of the quarterbacks, Sam Darnold had another bad game. He's now 1-3 for the Jets. Josh Allen had a bad game after the great game in which they beat the Vikings on a Thursday night. They got Buffalo settled back, regressed to the mean where they ought to be. Got nothing at all. Josh Rosen almost won. Baker Mayfield almost won as a native son. When you see Mayfield, given the fact that he's only 6 feet tall and everybody, and by everybody I mean Wilbon, said, how can they draft this bum? He's going to be in jail and so on and so forth. He's Johnny Manziel. No. What do you think when you see him?
Tell Wilbon.
You can tell him.
He'll be here in a second. The thing is, he should know. He saw Drew Brees do the same thing at Purdue. He's a Big Ten guy. He saw the same size guy do the same sort of thing with the same kind of guys, same kind of players. The main thing about Mayfield, and I have to say, I never wanted to watch the Hard Knocks series.
It's very good.
Because it's always been like the kiss of death, because every single team that's done it, they've sucked after they do.
Oh, but Cleveland came in with
Super
Bowl pretensions.
We're the only team that does Hard Knocks and
you're better. You should be 4-0.
Exactly.
You're 1-2-1.
Bingo.
You should be 4-0.
And when you see the way that the guys rally around Mayfield, you're like, you know what?
Boy, they seem to like
him.
They
got something.
They seem to think that he is the guy.
Yeah.
And they've been through a bunch of... And by the way, Myles Garrett?
He's a player.
He's pretty good, too.
He's the one draft choice they actually got right in the last 5-10 years.
He may be, you
go back to the last defensive player that they invested that much in was Barkevious Mingo.
Right. But they appear to have hit on Chubb and Antonio Callaway, who's playing for them,
David
Njoku. I mean, the last couple years, they've done well with all these picks.
I thought they picked the wrong Chubb. The guy from South Carolina was the guy, Chubb that I thought they should have got.
I have Chubb insurance, if that means anything to you. I will take a break.
I have Chubb jokes.
Wilbon.
Wilbon
will be with us
going.
When we return.
I know where you're going.
I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Brooklinen ad. They want me to talk about the new sheets that I discovered, like I'm, DaGama or something. Brooklinen.com. Brooklinen sheets named the winner of best of online betting category by Good Housekeeping. Get rave reviews from Business Insider. Brooklinen is the fastest growing betting brand in the world with over 20,000 five-star reviews. They want me to talk about the incredible feeling of fancy hotel sheets and how Brooklinen was started by a husband and wife who didn't think it should be so difficult and expensive to get sheets like that at home. If you've ever stayed at, and of course Leon has, and I have, and the rest of you, I hope you get to where you stay at Four Seasons or, you know, and places like that all the time. Those sheets really are good. And if Brooklyn Inn is that good, they're really good. Based in Brooklyn, they're not your typical New Yorkers. They live in the city that never sleeps, yet they're committed to bringing you the best sleep ever. It's founded in 2014 by the husband and wife team of Vicky and Rich Fulop and their dog, Dukes. Their mission is to bring five-star hotel quality sheets to everyday life. Luxury sheets without the markup, not the 300% bedding markup that you often get. Their method is to take out the middleman, keep things personal just between them and the customer. From design to manufacturing to customer service and beyond, it's a small business approach from being run by a husband and wife team to being involved in every step of the manufacturing process to a customer service team that cares so much they remember customers by name, not just, hey, you. It's an old-fashioned spirit despite totally modernizing an old industry. Sheets don't just feel great, they look great too. You've got different colors and materials to choose from. My Brooklyn Inn sheets are the best, most comfortable sheets I've ever slept on. Brooklinen.com is giving an exclusive offer just for my listeners. Get $20 off and free shipping when you use the promo code Tony at Brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so sure you'll love your new sheets, they offer a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee and a lifetime warranty on all of their sheets and comforters. And the only way to get $20 off and free shipping is to use the promo code Tony at Brooklinen.com. That's B-R-O-O-K-L-I-N-E-N, linen. Brooklinen.com, promo code Tony. These really are the best sheets ever.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Jessica Mitchell. This is sent in by her dad, Michael Mitchell. Must be great to have a child play and sing like this, sit around the house and do that. My oldest, Jessica Mitchell, sending along her best wishes. I have her blessing to provide a couple of more tracks from her new record, Heart of Glass. The media coverage has been great. The promotions read, the renowned singer-songwriter has been likened to Adele and Sheryl Crow by numerous platforms like Spotify and Apple
Music.
Good
company.
Her streaming numbers have reached over 4 million listens. This is called Maybe It's Me. And if you are in the Nashville area, she's playing tonight, October 1st, at the City Winery. She's opening for the legendary Terry Clark. Now, wow. I got a boy who can hit a golf ball pretty well. And he can sing really well. And I've watched him sing and act. But this
is something special.
This major league talent.
Your musical talent that you've had.
It's fantastic.
It's been insane. I went actually last week, I did something I've never done before. I went online and downloaded.
Oh, yeah, I do.
Rozzy.
Oh, John.
So brilliant.
Oh, Rozzy's great.
Yeah.
From L.A.
Oh, insane.
No, she's great.
Insane.
Michael Wilbon joins us now. He's at the airport in Chicago waiting to come home. We will start with his personal weekend of some agony and some ecstasy. Some of the agony is Northwestern Michigan. I watched that game. Northwestern was up 17-0. Michigan made the greatest comeback ever under Jim Harbaugh as a coach. I thought at the end that Michigan won it. I didn't think Northwestern lost it, but you think Northwestern lost it.
We're at home. We're at home with a 17-point lead, and they couldn't score on our defense. They got one touchdown and through 55 minutes. One touchdown, a couple of field goals. I mean, you got to win the game. I'm reluctant, particularly publicly, to be critical of my teams, Tony.
Right.
And because I'm first and foremost, a trustee and an alum. I'm not a sports writer when it deals to Northwestern football or basketball or anything. But that game, I'm not over that, and it was entirely a weekend of agony for me. I know the Bears had a spectacular thing, and we'll get to that. But
yeah.
We got to win that game. We got to win that game, and I'm just less tolerant right now than I've been. And we have to win that game. Our offensive production has to be better, and it's got to be coordinated better.
I know what you're saying. I just thought on that last drive, I thought Michigan mixed the run and I just thought they played great.
The ball game is they sacked our quarterback 5 third downs in a row. I'm pretty certain.
That's a lot.
5 third downs in a row.
That's a lot.
So you know what? Somebody better get the quarterback to do something different, if you know what I mean.
I do. All right, let's.
So I'm salty.
If you want to go to the Cubs, we'll go to the Cubs. Yeah, I know you're going to say you're in agony over the Cubs, although the Cubs have a chance today to beat the Brewers. It's in Chicago, is it not? It's not in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
So you've got that home field advantage. Oh, here's what I would say. last week, both of us, and that when I say both of us, that actually includes you. It's not just me. Both of us said that Milwaukee would beat the Cubs for the division. Yeah. So what are you revising now?
I'm not revising anything. I mean, I think they're the better team right now. And they've got, you know, they've got the MVP. You know, I was hoping all season that Javi Baez.
I think whoever wins this game,
three best players, and no, Christian Yelich is going to win the MVP this
season. Even if the Cubs win this and Baez does,
he's on Triple Crown. Nobody's won the Triple Crown in the National League since Joe Medwick.
Oh, that's a ways back. I think I was
talking
in high school.
Gas House Gang, right? We're talking 30s. World War II.
That's the 30s, Joe Medwick.
So we're moving
St. Louis.
Up on 90 years.
Right.
So I think Christian Yelich will win the MVP. Here's what's tough for me when I become sort of rational. The Cubs have won 94 games. If they win today, it'll be 95
games.
It's a lot of games in the season. You can't, and that division is the best division in baseball. I know that the Red Sox and the Yankees have the two of the three best teams in terms of record, but the division isn't as good as
it's
Brewers,
close because Tampa had a very
Cardinals.
Good year.
Yeah, but
it's close.
But the Cardinals have as good a record, if not better, than Tampa.
Yes, they do.
About the same. And Pittsburgh, I think finished like 10 games over 500. So we got four teams that could make a case that they, you know, had a really good, satisfying season on some level. And so
Tampa's got 90. Tampa beat St. Louis by two games. Tampa has 90 wins.
Wow. Okay.
But the fourth place team.
The fourth team is 10 games above 500?
The fourth team, the Pittsburgh's three above. Toronto is 16 below. So, yes, on the bottom end. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So, top to bottom, we're toughest division, and you win 94 games with your closer out three quarters of the year, and a guy you paid $150 million for to
Can't
start
pitch.
Pitching didn't pitch.
Can't pitch.
So I'm like, all right, I gotta be more rational than I've been. But to have to play this game today. But the other thing, Tony, and this is inside baseball because nobody in Washington would care about this. The Cubs had a stretch because of early rainouts and snowouts that the Brewers don't have anymore because they have a dome. Cubs had to play 35 days in a row.
Oh,
and
are you serious?
Yes, I'm serious.
35?
30-something.
Wow.
And the day the second day we were supposed to have off after finally getting a day off was the day in which the Nationals Cubs got rained out.
That's right.
And we had to do a makeup game in Washington.
The Nats had a lot of rainouts here. We had a lot of rainouts.
You know, so they got that. So you got a depleted roster. By the way, the MVP missed half the season, Chris Bryant, former MVP, recent MVP. So the injuries piled up. They still win 95 games, and they still have a chance. So I got to be more rational. But, you know, losing to the Cardinals 2-1 at Wrigley Field on Saturday while the Wildcats were going up in flames was one of my – that was a day of, you know, infamy.
Day of infamy from Franklin Delano Wilbon. Let's get to the Bears because this is the highlight of my weekend. Michael Wilbon has railed – not so much against Mitch Trubisky,
against
trading up to draft him because he thinks he's very ordinary. He has railed against Trubisky, but more against Ryan Pace.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And now Trubisky in the first half is Sid F. Luckman.
Yes.
He completes 14 passes for 289 yards and 5 touchdowns. The guy had the greatest. He had the greatest day. The equal of the greatest day of any Bear quarterback of all time, and you say what?
I'm thrilled for him. I was looking for a Trubisky jersey last night. And certainly to put one on Matthew. And so, you know, look, Tony, I don't even think he doesn't need to be prolific all the time. First of all, you can't be that prolific.
Nobody can.
Maybe not again in your career. Even Sid Luckman, Hall of Fame, did it once. So I'm thrilled that the kid had this kind of day. I just want him to be efficient. I just want him not to. You know what? He had done this year, and the Bears were already 2-1 coming into yesterday. He had thrown two touchdown passes and 3 picks. That was his year total until yesterday.
Yeah, but you're the first to say that the monsters of the Midway are built on defense every single year, all your quarterback has to be is okay.
No, not anymore.
Now in the new league,
in this new era, he's got to be really good. And you look at guys who've been really good; they're not great, but they've won Super Bowls. Two of them in Baltimore, Dilfer and Flacco.
Yes,
you got to have a great season, okay?
Right.
Two touchdowns and three picks is not a great season. That's not projecting to a great season. But this kid yesterday, his footwork was sublime, his judgment was spectacular. The unheralded, unknown receivers, did everything they could in support of him. It all came together. Again, Tony, I'm not asking him to do it again. And that's on Overreaction Monday, which is to say any Monday that happens that comes about in the football season. People will now say, oh, Trubisky, he vaults himself. No,
he had a great game. But let me point something out to you. And this is, I think, why people love the NFL. Because you know who's leading the NFC East right now? The Washington Redskins, a last-place team. And do you know who's leading the NFC Central or whatever they call it these days? Your Chicago Bears at 3-1 with a point differential of, 46, which is close to the Rams. You couldn't have seen this coming. You couldn't have.
No, Tony. I didn't even know the schedule until they traded for Matt.
And that's a big move.
Matthew came to me one day and he said, Dad, can we go see the Patriots when they're at Soldier Field? And I go, the Patriots are coming to Soldier Field?
Oh, they are?
I didn't, October, I don't know, it's 21st or something like that. And I think we are going to come and see that game. And some of us had done here what people had done in Washington. The local football team was bad. Yeah. Our team was not bad for 20 years, but it was bad for 8 years. We haven't been in the playoffs since 2010. So I was just not paying attention. The Cubs are doing what they're doing. There's other things to pay attention to, and I just said I'm not going to get crazy over the Bears. And when they traded for Khalil Mack, we all got crazy. And I started drinking the Kool-Aid that day. Because, again, Tony, we understand linebacker. That's what we get. And that's what teams here are built around when they're good and when they're exciting. And so now they have a guy who, look, Rex Grossman had a day like, I think he threw five.
He had good days. He did. He went to a Super Bowl.
He went to a Super Bowl. Yeah. And so, we count great quarterbacks by what season they had. Sid Luckman had more than one season, but it was in the 40s. And then you go all the way to Jim McMahon.
That's right.
You go all the way to the mid-80s. You go half of people's lifetime. And then you got this. So I don't know what it means. It means we're euphoric today. It means – I mean, I sat there. I watched the game with my mother yesterday, which was a throwback day for us. It's like going back to the 60s. Watching Gail Sayers. We sat there in her apartment and we watched the Bears. And it was just a triumphant day, a once in a lifetime day for somebody who's 92.
Yeah. Well, but she's had the Cubs.
For me.
She's had the Cubs.
Only recently.
Don't get greedy. She's had the Cubs.
Don't get greedy. That's right.
So,
we did that yesterday and we'll see where they have a bye week this week. Of course, the schedule's going to cool them off. And they have a bye week this week. By the way, do the Redskins play tonight?
No.
No, they're off.
They play next Monday.
They're in the first bye week.
They have 20 days off. They play next Monday. It's like they have forever and ever. So let me point one thing out. The we all thought that the largest story at the beginning of the NFL season would be the lack of a policy on the anthem. In fact, it is not mentioned at all. Because the largest story with the NFL has been the roughing the passer penalties, which are going to ruin football as we know it. And yet, somebody, Mike, must have said something to somebody, because there were almost none
this weekend.
I
saw big fat linemen land squarely on the body of the quarterback.
Yes, they did.
And they just didn't call it. Yeah.
So that's good. That's good development.
How long is that? Which one is
don't know.
Which one is less likely to continue? Mitch Trubisky or no flags or roughing the pass?
Don't know. That's your problem, not mine. Have a good trip. I'll see you later.
All right, Tony.
Michael Wilbon, boys and girls. We'll take a break. We will come back with news. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Policy Genius ad. Life insurance is really important, but one-third of people don't have it. And that's because it's really hard to buy. You have to work out what you need, then do the research to find the best quote and hope you don't get swindled along the way. It's not a good way to shop for anything, so Policy Genius made the whole process a lot simpler. Policy Genius compares quotes from the top life insurance companies to find the best policy for you. It takes you just 2 minutes to get a quote. And if you don't know the first thing about insurance, they've got all the tools to get you up to speed. You learn the difference between term and whole life insurance. You calculate how much coverage you need and be sure you're making the right decision. I don't even want life insurance. I got some, but
Michael wants you to have life insurance.
I'd like a piece of your life insurance.
Yeah. In fact, over 4 million people have used Policy Genius to shop for insurance. Policy Genius doesn't just make life insurance easy. They also compare disability insurance, home insurance, and auto insurance. If you care about it, they can cover it. So whether you know a lot about life insurance or nothing at all, start your search at policygenius.com. In just 2 minutes, you can compare quotes and make an informed decision for you and your loved ones. Policy Genius, the easy way to compare and buy life insurance.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
The email reads, "Hey guys, my name is Tony Gebhard from Kalamazoo, Michigan." Michael, you spend time in Kalamazoo,
I have.
Right? "Heard about you from a friend of mine. I'm currently promoting and looking to share a little bit of my second album called Changes, being released on October 5th. The pre-orders are available at TonyGebhard.bandcamp.com/album/changes. I'm on Bandcamp as well as a numerous amount of streaming and download services. I'm totally blind. I lost my sight when I was 9 years old. This song is called Wipe Away Your Tears. It is an easy listening instrumental that depicts a stress dream I had experienced last summer. Dreams can be very questionable. I'm sending you a track off the record that'll be exclusive for your podcast. It'll give my fans a reason to also check out the craziness you guys unveil. P.S. I give you full permission to stream this song over your podcast for your listeners."
Nice.
You
know, isn't that lovely?
I don't know if Michael would endorse this, but this is the kind of stuff I listen to when I'm on the driving range.
Yeah. Really? Oh, so you have music when you're...
Yes, so it slows down your tempo.
Really?
It slows down
this
your tempo.
This would be nice on the putting green.
Yeah.
This is
lovely, isn't it?
Yeah, maybe give this to the American
team.
And he's
blind.
Yeah, wipe away your tears.
He's
just
blind.
Brilliant.
This is great.
I mean, maybe sight is not important when you play music, but it seems to me it should be a little bit. I don't know. I don't know how it works.
No. Actually, as a former musician, I can tell you, I played trombone in a jazz band back when I was young. You close your eyes, man.
Fascinating.
You go inside. You go inside, man.
So it's okay. So that is the one sense that you're okay losing.
Yeah.
Like you could probably lose hearing.
Yeah, sense of smell. You could probably play pretty well.
Smell helps too. Michael, if people want to send us their original music and the music has moved Leon to listen to it,
yes.
How do they do it?
Send us your music by emailing it to jingles@tonykornheisershow.com.
You could putt to this, couldn't you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
and
I would
after
imagine.
The show, you can listen to these cuts in their entirety.
Yes,
every
it's
day.
Just it's yeah. just wonderful. It's just wonderful. Okay, Nigel has news.
I do indeed, Mr. Tony. We will finish up. We covered most of the games from the NFL over the weekend, but a few we did not touch on. I don't believe you touched on the Saints' victory over the Giants. Did you talk about that?
Seemed a comfortable victory. Drew Brees seems to be better than most. Seemed a comfortable victory. The Giants aren't any good.
Giants aren't very good.
No.
And Eli Manning appears to not be able to really play quarterback anymore.
I think he's...
You think he's done?
I think he's close to done.
Just don't bench him.
Don't bench him.
All quarterbacks are better when you can protect them, and that guy, they do not protect. He especially needs it.
Yeah, he really
does. Mannings always have. Well, Archie not so much, but he and his brother Peyton, and he's not getting any protection.
C.J. Beathard had a nice game for San Francisco, despite the fact that they lost to the Chargers, almost 300 yards passing with a couple of touchdowns.
That was a close game, too.
Yep.
That was a close game.
And I don't believe you touched...
No, you got to talk about the Patriots.
And the Patriots, yes, 38-7, finally looked like they were the Patriots of
well,
all.
This but not is... the start you wanted.
No, this is what...
No, at 2-2.
Well, okay. Even in the game.
Oh.
Not even in the game. The Patriots, they had the game at home. This was the easiest one to bet of all last week. Because the Patriots are not going to go 1-3 at home to a division team like the Dolphins. The Dolphins are a fraud. They're a fraud every single year.
and
the Patriots killed them. The Patriots killed them 38-7.
Yeah.
They killed them. They were 7-point underdog at home and got killed.
No,
I'm sorry, 7-point favorite at home. you know, against a 3-0 team.
And Josh Gordon with a couple of catches, and his teammates, I guess, understandably, were effusive in their praise of him. They said, "Oh yeah, he's going to be great." We're
gotta make him happy.
Yeah,
well, gotta make all public comments
that's
positive.
This week, that's this week. And do they have a driver who's taking him home every single night?
I don't know about that.
After every game, after every practice,
Leon involved in this Cleveland guy.
I have no feelings about that at all. No.
I do know, and this was no accident. Obviously, his locker is right next to Tom Brady's.
There you go.
And that apparently has had a big impact.
But he was wearing 10. I thought his number was 12. Josh Gordon. Why did he not wear 12?
He can't wear 12 on that club.
Guess not.
What else?
Guess
you got?
Mr. Tony, we now go to college football.
Yeah, there was a lot of college stuff.
Some terrific games. We'll start off with Clemson. Clemson lost the starting quarterback's name? Lawrence?
Yes.
Trevor Lawrence.
Goes
lost
down with
concussion-like symptoms.
Yeah. Ooh, did you see that hit?
He got crushed.
That was
going to the sideline and got banged.
Yeah.
This comes on the heels after he was named the starter, and the other bloke, who had been the starter,
announced
Bryant,
he was transferring.
Said, I'm
Kelly
leaving.
Bryant.
So they were down to the third-string quarterback.
Who was great.
Yep. And
who was great in the fourth quarter when he had to be great.
Right.
Because they were going to lose that game to Syracuse.
Yeah.
They were going to lose.
And they come back, and they win it 27-23.
Easy cover for Carville.
Yes. Penn State.
Yes, very easy cover, getting 25 and a half.
Yeah.
Penn State was all over Ohio State early and late, but not very late because they let up a 12-point lead. Ohio State comes back to beat them at Penn State, 27-26.
So I thought Ohio State had lost that game. I was being updated by my brother who was back watching it. I was emceeing an event for WSSC. You can thank them for your water here.
Right? WSSC
100 years consecutive years.
Yes.
But again, I'm thinking that game was over. They lost that game.
It was. Penn State's defense had really shut down Haskins. And Haskins really didn't play that well. They had a couple of good drives.
McSorley played well.
McSorley had 175 yards rushing.
McHeisman.
Couldn't stop him.
McHeisman.
And yet, at the end of the game, with a 4th-and-5 or a 4th-and-6.
Went for it.
They were going to go for it. They just didn't give him the ball. They gave it to the running back. And it was blown up in the backfield.
So let's get to this, because I wasn't aware of this. Gary, you were particularly impressed with what James Franklin said after the Penn State loss.
He just railed about how they... how they will not be satisfied being a great program anymore, because they are, Penn State, a great program that he said just lost to an elite program. And we've been comfortable being great, but great isn't good enough anymore. And I thought, you know, of course, being a Maryland fan and being this era, we have eyes on everything that Coach Franklin does. And
he was the offensive coordinator.
I asked if
at Maryland right now.
But I know Leon did. I mean, I thought it was impressive. It's always, I don't know, maybe it's
would
a
Would you
Rorschach
not play for that
season.
Guy?
You
heard what he said.
Yeah, I was impressed with the way he handled it. So
Notre Dame had a very big win over Stanford at home.
They did.
That's a 17. Very big win. We're happy for Brian.
Yes,
Polian.
Coach Polian. Well
Oklahoma
done.
Got 66 points. This kid, the kid who's playing baseball, who's the quarterback for an hour and a half at Oklahoma, he's pretty good.
Kyler Murray.
He's pretty good. I don't think you can be Bo Jackson anymore. I don't think, and I certainly don't think you can be a quarterback and a baseball player. I mean, I just don't think you can.
You want to tell that to Patrick Mahomes?
He made his choices. They made their choices. Okay, but this kid is so, Kyler Murray, is that his name?
Kyler Murray, yeah.
He's so good. They've given him $4.5 million, the Oakland A's, to be an outfielder. He's so good at quarterback.
432 in the air with 6 touchdowns. I believe he rushed for another touchdown.
He's so good.
Does that interest you?
I don't know what you do. I don't know what you do with him. And there's one other thing I wanted to mention. University of Central Florida, UCF. Pittsburgh's not a great team, but they're in a big-time conference. They're a big-time team. UCF killed them. UCF hasn't lost in a year and a half. When does somebody stand up and say, hey, you got to move them up. You got to move them up.
UCF gets the players that don't get scholarships to Florida State and Florida and Miami.
They're in Florida.
And they work harder.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And they work harder.
And they're down the street.
They got a chip.
They're right down the street.
And they got a chip.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
They do.
45-14 the final. I mean, not even close.
I also point out?
And by the way, and I thought they would suffer when their coach, Scott Frost, left to go back to his own alma mater, where he's 0-90 at the moment. He hasn't won any games this year.
That well.
I thought he'd be great right off the bat, and he's not, and they're not, and neither is Chip Kelly.
What's that tell you?
Chip Kelly, he's winless as well, right?
I don't know. Would UCLA lose again this
week?
I don't know.
I think they were off this weekend.
It's the players.
Yeah.
It's the players. And being in Florida and being able to recruit that caliber of player.
That's right.
The guys that don't make it in Florida can go anyplace else in
That's
the country
right.
and star.
Florida and Texas.
Yeah.
Florida
yeah.
and they Texas. They have the most. They
you
have
need
the most
horses.
People.
Yeah. One final score from college football. I know you had your eye on Gary. I think you're actually at this game. Georgetown Hoyas dropped a tough one to Brown, 35-7.
Ooh. Yeah, but they were in it all the way except until
Why
they started
Why does it seem
playing.
Like Georgetown is in the Ivy League conference these days? They only play Ivies.
Yeah, why don't they play Patriot League teams? Well, aren't they in the Patriot League?
Well, next week they do take on Frankie Frisch's alum, the Fordham
Flash.
Before
yes,
we
Fordham
transition Flash. From college football, I want to point out I will be heading to Blacksburg this weekend to hook up with Brian and see the Virginia Tech Notre Dame game. And while we don't do weddings, despite all the invites, we do tailgates. So if you're going to be in Blacksburg and want me and a couple friends to stop by now, I'm warning you, I'm coming with a friend who is literally a Brett Kavanaugh high
Mike
school
Judge.
Level partier.
Mike Judge?
Yeah.
It's Mike Judge.
Mark Judge.
Mark Judge.
But would love to stop by your tailgate.
Yeah. Okay. What else?
You talked a little bit about with Wilbon, but yeah, we've got playoff baseball today. This is fantastic.
Well,
game 163.
Well,
doubleheader.
Like our show will not go anywhere near ESPN today because ESPN will have live sports. We'll be on ESPN.
You're on the Ocho, right?
On the Ocho.
It's a great baseball week.
But if I watch all the baseball games because they're just, to me, they're fascinating. If you think that the teams didn't know what was going on yesterday, Brewers 11-0, Dodgers 15-0, Rockies 12-0, Cubs 10-5.
How'd the Nats do?
Nats on the bat, the zero end of the 12-0 in Colorado. So let me just get to that. Okay, there's the Nats end the season losing miserably in Colorado.
At least Harper got a hit.
Harper got two doubles.
Yeah.
Scherzer doesn't pitch, which was smart. Don't put him out there. Don't hurt him.
Although,
he's not going to win the Cy Young.
Did you see where he had said earlier, I will pitch if it can ruin their season.
And it could have. They didn't put him out there. They
pinch,
put Fetty out there.
Hit him. I'd let him pitch hit, though.
Rizzo wants to keep Harper. Says he's quoted as saying he's in our plans. We want to keep Harper. I don't want to do too much of reading the tea leaves. But Harper went around hugging every single guy in the dugout when the game was over. That was my feeling.
He did the same thing the last home game.
That was a fair. I know he says I want to be here if they want me. This is Kirk Cousins. This is exactly what he said. Exactly what he said. If you're hugging everybody, aren't you saying goodbye?
Didn't you see the way he said goodbye to the fans in the stands around right field?
Do you not think he's saying goodbye?
Seemed that way.
I mean, I hope he doesn't. Yeah. Do you not think he's
I hope
saying
he doesn't, too.
I don't put him in the Kirk Cousins category like you. I think that is just the natural response because it's out of his hands. It's not. Yes,
well,
it is up to him to accept a deal.
Right.
But there are other things in play, which include other teams. So he's recognizing that when he's giving those hugs.
So you don't read the tea leaves in a negative way, as Leon and I do.
Well, I'm still on the fence because I remember the All Star weekend, week I should say, and when he came out there wearing
fantastic,
he had the shoes that had
the headband,
DC skyline
fantastic.
On it. He had the headband exactly,
and you thought. He loves it.
Hold up. The insole of his shoes had the cherry blossoms on them. Nobody saw that.
Right.
So it's like, why would you do that? Do something that nobody else is going to see if that's not really in your heart. I kind of felt like, at that point, I thought he was going to be here, but I don't know now.
Let me just clarify. I don't think he is committed to leaving so much as he is to just committed to making a financial decision, and I think he understands that more money is going to come from somewhere else. So I don't. Unlike Kirk Cousins, who was not going to stay for any amount.
No,
of
he
money,
was not.
I
staying.
Believe
he was not.
This
staying.
Guy would stay. I just think he realizes they're not committed. They're not going to commit financially as others.
You know,
would.
I don't want to sound like one of those stupid homers, but I have to at this point. How much is enough? I mean, $130 million, $131 million.
Can I see the insole of your shoe? I mean, you got cherry blossoms
on there. The insole of my shoe says NBC4.
Right, I'm sure it does.
That's what
yours is also for sale.
Are you going to be upset if he moves to Philadelphia? I mean,
I'm going to be upset if he leaves.
If he leaves in general.
I mean, I think he's a really great player.
Would Philadelphia hurt more?
I'd be upset if he went to the Yankees. That's the only place I'd be upset with. If he went anywhere else,
that would hurt.
In division would bother me.
Yeah. Well, that's
if he went to the Braves or if he went to the Yankees. Those are the two places I can't see.
In division would bother me.
The rumors are swirling that the Phillies are going to be hard charging at him and Machado. I mean, you imagine.
I thought everybody seems to think Machado's a great player.
He's a great fit for LA, considering the Hispanic.
Who, Machado?
Yeah.
No, because they've got Corey Seager as a shortstop. They're just renting him. They got an all-star shortstop. This is just a total rental on Machado, but he's a great player.
How about the women's basketball team? Basketball team won their third straight World Cup game. In fact, they haven't lost a World Cup game in nearly 12 years. They beat Australia in the gold medal game last night.
I watched about 3 minutes of that.
73-56.
There's a basketball World Cup?
Yeah. Okay. I watched about 3 minutes of it. They were sort of comfortably ahead. I was watching. Deladon was on the court. Bird was on the court. You know,
good players.
They seemed in control. It's in Spain.
It was. Let me get the name of the town. San Cristobal de la Laguna.
And you said that because you think all of our listeners know exactly where
we
that
might
is.
Have a listener.
Which is
listen
Spanish
email
for San Cristobal of the Laguna.
Of the Laguna, yeah. If you're in San Cristobal of the Laguna, please email us.
All right, get us out.
I do have one final story I want to share with you, Mr. Tony.
Okay. He said,
Josh Mason of Denton, Texas, age 27, had a great idea. He was madly in love with 28-year-old Katie Davis. They'd been dating for a while. He said, I'm going to take you someplace special. So he took her on a hike into the Colorado Mountains near Boulder. When he got up to the peak of Jasper Peak, which is 13,000 feet up.
He pushed her off?
He proposed to her.
Oh, put her on a
bike. She said yes.
I was wondering where that was going.
She said yes.
This is a beautiful moment.
So far,
right?
This is great.
Well, she wants to walk out, so we've got to say yes.
Well, unfortunately, he hadn't really timed it or considered the altitude conditions.
And he passed out?
He got lost as darkness fall. They were lost, and they were suffering from altitude sickness, falling down and passing out. Yeah. Fortunately,
it's
they were found by another hiker who led them to his camp, gave them food and water, and another place to warm up while another camper called for help.
Is she now still going to marry this moron?
She's now engaged to one of the campers who found her.
Right. Don't be a bozo. Ditch this guy.
No, apparently, Sergeant Clay Leak, one of the deputies that helped rescue them, said the engagement at this point is still on. So there you go.
All right, we will take a break. We'll come back with Old Guy. In Old Guy, we will talk about the World Cup, the Ryder Cup, rather, not the World Cup. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Okay, so we all know about apps. They're helpful, no doubt, and they help you do a lot of different things. Well, now Amazon Alexa offers something that takes the app world to an even higher level with Skills. What are Skills, you ask? Well, Skills are like apps for Amazon Alexa with no need to download or install. Whatever you want to do, Alexa has a skill for it. You can use Skills to play a game, relax with sleep sounds, listen to live sports, or just about anything else you want to do. There are over 30,000 skills you can try, including TuneIn Live, Westwood One Sports, and StatMuse, where you can stream live sports events, get your favorite team's highlights, and grab all your stats and info. And finding them is as easy as ever with the Skills Store at amazon.com/skills or by clicking the Skills tab in your Amazon Alexa app. So try an Alexa skill today. Just say, Alexa, how do I listen to live sports to follow your favorite team? It's that easy.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Says
Kim.
No, it's not Kim Carnes. No, it's not Kim Carnes.
Bonnie Tyler.
It's Bonnie Tyler. This is my friend Jimmy Steinman's song. Jimmy Steinman of Meat Loaf wrote this song, produced this song, did everything for Bonnie Tyler. This is the subject of a very funny scene in one of those Will Ferrell movies where the house band at a wedding sings this and curses while they're singing it.
Old school. Very funny.
What is the name of this?
Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Yeah,
that's a great scene.
I understand you can make fun of this song. This is a spectacular song as far as I'm concerned. This is Euclid High School for me.
Yes.
So this is a really big deal.
Hit number one on this day in 1983. And Bonnie
Tyler. So that's 35 years ago.
Yeah. And Bonnie Tyler had seen a Meat Loaf concert.
I know you think it's
Kim Carnes. And yet you remember it.
Well, yeah, I do remember it.
Bonnie Tyler
had seen Kim Carnes.
Had seen a Meatloaf concert and approached Simon afterwards and said, I want you to be my producer. He played a couple of songs for her, and as they talked about afterwards, he said, if I hadn't liked the songs, Jimmy would have, you know, said, okay, well, I'm not going to be your producer. I'm not going to collaborate with you. The next song he brought over was this, and as she said later, I had chills on my arms as I heard it, and I could not wait to get in the studio.
No, it's great.
Yeah.
I mean, it's easy to make fun of, and it's also great. Before we get into the Ryder Cup, Leon has to do the news, so he would know this.
Yeah.
The FBI probe, which is interesting, into Brett Kavanaugh, which is supposed to have a deadline, I believe, of Friday.
Friday.
What is the most interesting thing that I saw early this morning on the news, on the Today Show, was there's accusations by people out there, Democrats mainly, leaking this to the news media, that the White House is trying to stifle the width of the probe and how many people can be interviewed.
Right.
The White House is saying, no, we're not doing anything like that. We know that Ramirez will be interviewed, but Swetnick, has been already. My thoughts on this are that Jeff Flake, and when he wants to run for president, when he is confronted by that woman in the elevator, that's not going to help him very much.
No. That will help
him. Oh, you think so? Because he becomes sympathetic?
Because he's a human.
Even though it looks like he wants to hit the button and close the door as everyone would.
But he walked from that and made a deal.
And the deal he made, it seems to me, and this is my opinion only, and everyone here is free to disagree. I think he said, I'll vote for him, but I've got to have this. We've got to have the FBI involved.
We have to make
involved.
It look like we care.
Yeah.
He actually did. He saved the party, if you ask me.
The Republican Party.
Yeah, he saved the Republican Party. Because if they had ran, because the whole plan had been to ramroad
through,
this
as
thing.
As Mitch McConnell said.
As he said. If they had gone ahead and plowed through this whole thing, they would have had they would have allowed the Democrats to say, look, this woman basically came out here, Dr. Ford, bared her soul to the nation and shared, you know, the most painful thing. And had,
there's damage there.
And the moment when Pat Leahy, the Senator Leahy, asked her, what was the thing you remember the most?
The laughter.
And the laughter. That would be the ad. That would be the banner that would be held over the Republican Party. All right? And for them saying, we're going to ram this thing through, even though this woman said that. And it was one of the most touching moments we've had in decades, right? So he has a moment in that elevator when the door is open, where the party gets a chance to say, "We don't care what women, and we know that you represent more voters than you're the biggest voting bloc in the country. We don't care about you. We're just going to do what we want to do anyway." And he put a human face on that and said, and a heart on the whole thing by having that human reaction. He saved the party.
Do you think Brett Kavanaugh will be confirmed?
Eventually, yeah.
I do too.
Yeah.
And I read all the stuff. And there were at least four stories yesterday, and I commend these stories to you in the Washington Post Outlook section, relative to this and all the spinoffs, you know, with women writing pieces about men and women mostly, and one or two pieces by male writers. They were awfully critical of Brett Kavanaugh and the culture that spawned him.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think that those are people writing. And I don't know that anyone is listening to those people in Congress or at 1600 Pennsylvania. And I do think he will probably be confirmed, because what I was told by a couple of lawyers, whose names will go unmentioned, is that this is a canard, this investigation. They don't really have subpoena power.
Right.
They're just going to interview people and tell you what the people said.
Yeah.
They're going to draw no conclusions. No charges will be filed.
Yeah.
It's just investigatory. And so if you think it's a game changer, which I think a lot of people do,
well,
lawyers say it is not.
If they had not done it, it would have been a game changer. Because think about it way.
You'd have no sympathetic ear from the Republican Party.
You'd have no trust in the process.
Right.
You'd have no trust in the process. If nothing else, the most important thing, actually, this is more important than the seat itself, and more important than the court, is trust in the system and in the process. And if you had this whole thing rammed through, and had not, first of all, remember, they got forced into actually having the hearing.
That's absolutely true.
They got forced into having the hearing. If they had done this without the hearing, if they had done this without an investigation, how in the hell can you have a hearing without the guy who was supposedly in the room being interviewed? Judge, Mark Judge, wasn't even part
well,
of this
said,
whole thing.
Well, he's quoted as saying, I don't remember this at all, and it doesn't seem to me to be anything that Brett Kavanaugh
That's
would have
fine,
done.
But have the official conversation
right.
with him.
Right.
If you did not do anything to at least engender trust in the process, what are we left with? You're left with a situation where the country's already divided. We're already divided. But if we get divided and we have absolutely no trust in the system, how are we better off as a country?
So you think this is better for everybody?
Yeah. If nothing else. If nothing okay. else. It's like if you're a baseball manager, you got to go through the motions. All right. So even if your best pitcher is it's the last day of the season, you guys are down. You're down 10 games. There's no way you're going to win. What do you do? What signal are you sending to the rest of the clubhouse? What signal are you sending to the fan base if you say we're not going to play this guy or we are going to play this guy, whatever. It's the process. If you don't trust or if you don't respect the process, you're telling everybody who's watching to not respect it.
So you know what I found very interesting in a lot of the critical commentary about Kavanaugh?
Yeah.
That his railing about the Democrats might force him to recuse himself on a lot of issues.
Because it was partisan. And
yeah,
you don't,
it was
you're
partisan.
Not supposed to have that. You're
right.
not supposed to have that. But again, so we learned that because we've gone through the process. If
okay.
if we hadn't gone through the process, okay. would we have learned that about him?
No.
No.
No, 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 no.
No.
No. No. Michael, Ryder Cup.
Oh,
we
yeah.
We lose.
Do we need to talk about this?
How about that players pod? How about the task force?
We lose pretty big.
Team dynamics, yeah.
We lose pretty big. What are your thoughts about all this? All of our players.
I think the easy place to start is looking at team chemistry. I think it's a little bit more nuanced than that. You got to start with the captain selections. And the Europeans got a great performance from Stenson, from Sergio Garcia.
Oh,
he's now the most winningest player in the Ryder Cup of all time. And Ian Poulter, who seems to have a career that's solely built around this tournament. So good for him.
Winning singles matches in Ryder Cup.
And
that's all he does.
The Americans got nothing from Tiger, Phil, and Bryson DeChambeau. Say that one more time. It's hard to believe. Tiger Woods looked like a crippled version of himself out there in full rain gear. It was not. He looked old and tired.
Give me a sweater.
Well, yeah, in his singles match when he finally put on the rain shell at the end to try and hold off Jon Rahm. But yes, it was the result of the calendar. Tiger Woods, he's had an incredibly
he's never
hard season.
Like that.
No, Sans, Tony, it's a long season. played a lot of golf. No, I don't know. You have to give credit to Thomas Bjorn. Look at the way that course was set up. It was set up to try and take away every advantage the Americans could possibly have. You put value on accuracy over distance. You had the green speeds that were much more typical of a European tour event versus what you might have for a United States major. And you also have a team that's built around experience on that golf course. Every one of their players has played in the French Open. We have a handful
that
of those
course
players.
Looked
Boy,
beautiful.
It looked great.
Looked beautiful. Yeah,
it is a course that is a delight on TV and for match play, and it's unfortunate that the Americans sent so few of the matches to the end because it was so fun to watch down the stretch.
Yeah, could that just be as simple as they like it more, they want it more than we do?
Yeah, I think if
Don't
you
they
looked
look at...
Don't
Ryder Cup differently than we do?
They do, and you have to think about the actual structure. So you have 28 points available. You have 8 of those points are dedicated to a form of golf that we do not play or value in this country, which is foursomes. And typical American attitude is, I want to play my ball. You ever show up to a scramble, you know, a pro-am event?
Yeah, you don't want
to
alternate
charity.
Shots.
No, I want to play my ball out.
Yeah.
And you know, this is something that is traditionally in the UK. You play fast. You play a 2.5 foursomes round. You do it in the morning, then you go home. You also have
Why
Jim
would you
Furyk.
Put Phil in an alternate shot format when
because
he's going to put
because
it in
he
the
was
water.
Handcuffed.
He can't hit him.
Jim
Furyk,
why would you put him with DeChambeau?
Right, because he was handcuffed because he lost the tournament Friday afternoon when he puts out DeChambeau and Phil, and he puts out Webb Simpson with Bubba Watson, and they go 0-4 that afternoon, and they lose all the momentum. He was handcuffed because of one player, Patrick Reed. Nobody wants to play with this kid. Everybody on the team is running away from him. Jordan Spieth couldn't get from him fast enough, and they were on pace to be the best best American pairing that we've had ever. And Patrick Reed has these great comments now. He's like, I always thought we were going to play together. Why would you separate? Who cares if you like the other guy? We know what to do to bring out the best. They could only put Patrick Reed with Tiger because his place in golf is unimpeachable. Patrick Reed can't stand up to Tiger Woods. He's the one person on the team. And Jim Furyk also bows down to the idea of we got to get people reps. Webb Simpson complained he didn't get enough playing time. I think it was the 2014 Ryder Cup. No, you go out and play the guys you want to play. You wish you could say to some of the automatic picks like Webb Simpson, Bubba.
Why Bubba? Yeah.
Bubba has a 0-5 record in this tournament for foursomes and singles. Do you feel comfortable putting him out there? He's losing holes with pars, bogeys.
I mean, he was like 5 down on 11 or something.
Five
I mean,
down
crazy.
Early. But then Thomas Bjorn, he's able to say to players, and it's based on the makeup of the team, everybody has their fit. It's okay if Sergio has not played well this year for me to send him out in these matches because he's a leader in this type of event, because he's able to rally some of these other players around. And then also it just comes down to luck. Who knew that Francesco Molinari and Tommy Fleetwood would be that dynamic of
Francesco
a pairing?
Francesco Molinari is 5-0.
He's had a great year.
He owns Tiger. He owns Tiger. He had him in the British Open.
He had him here at Tiger's own tournament here. Yeah.
But it doesn't matter who you put that guy up against. He looks like he's going to make every single putt inside of 15 feet, which is what you need to do in this format.
So what if anything, can be made of the fact that Tiger and Phil are a combined 31-43-10 with Phil 22 losses, Tiger 21 in this tournament. I mean, I don't think
Americans are angry at that. The Americans, we evaluate people on winning majors.
I would say
this is fun to watch, but I don't think there's lasting impact.
But how does that happen?
So some of it comes down to where they were in their careers for the majority of these tournaments. So this was likely Phil Mickelson's last Ryder Cup. And for Tiger, he'll have another one. And it all comes down to they're calling it their buddy system. These guys go out, they pick their friends to be assistant captains. As an aside, I would have felt much better with the assistant captains playing for the Americans come Sunday. But you have Tiger and Phil who have brought out the best in their European counterparts because they want to take down the two biggest names in golf. And you have two guys who over that 20-year period, they did not want to share any of their secrets with the guys on their team. Phil Mickelson famously practiced at a different course in 2004. This is something that is antithetical to the way that these guys have been brought up playing junior golf, college golf, and the way that they travel through the tour. It could change with the way that, you know, the young Americans celebrate each other, but you just saw them run out of gas at the end of the season. Ricky Fowler just looked like he was tired after a long season.
The Europeans appear to enjoy each other more than we do.
You don't have to overthink it. The Americans dominate everything else all year round, right? All year long for two years at a time, American figures dominate everything, right? Why in the world wouldn't the rest of the world say, you know what, this is our one chance to get you guys.
They win the Olympics, too.
Exactly.
Well, they won the one Olympics we've had.
This is our one chance.
Stenson and Rose.
The course setup, I think, is a very key piece that we don't focus on. I think we have to give Bjorn a lot of credit for that. And the danger on the American side is it's not like we get an automatic home court advantage because the Europeans, they've played Whistling Straits. They've played Bethpage Black. They have played Congressional in 20 years.
And we haven't played their courses.
We have not played their courses, and we don't put any real value in doing that.
All righty. We will take a break. By the way, the one visual takeaway from the entire Ryder Cup, does anybody have any? Because I have one. Visual takeaway. Mm-hmm. Rory McIlroy not wearing a hat.
Not wearing a hat.
Now, he's a Nike guy, but you couldn't wear a Nike hat.
Right, but you see a scorecard holder?
No, was it Nike?
A big Nike swoosh.
Well, that's smart. But he didn't wear a hat.
That was a great match. You've
got to wear a Europe hat or a United States hat. He didn't wear a hat. He always wears a hat. Hmm. All right, we'll take a break. We'll have a jingle and email when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
I'm going old school.
Who's this?
Here comes Tony's mailbag.
This is Kip Sheeman.
Where is Kevin
today? I'll be in with it later.
Probably at the shelter celebrating the Redskins bye week.
Good job, Karen. Before we get to the mailbag, let me thank Michael Wilbon for coming on with us today. Let me thank our sponsors, Amazon Alexa, Policy Genius, and Brooklinen. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of The Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play. If you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. From Sylvester Bush, after hearing the testimony on Thursday with words like Bethesda, Congressional, and Hilton Arms, well, it's Holton Arms, and it's Columbia, I felt like I knew these places even though I've never been. The only thing missing was Bagel City and a train engulfed in flames. Yes, it was. It was also, there was Rehoboth. Every place I've spent
Safeway.
Any time in my life.
I was at that Safeway the night before.
Is that right? That's the one on Falls Road?
Yep, yeah, Falls and River, yep.
From Tom Olicheski, in 1975, I was working at Laurel Valley as an aide to the Ryder Cup committee. The U.S. team consisted of Captain Palmer, Nicholas Trevino, Casper Floyd, Littler, Irwin, Miller, Snead, Weisskopf, Murphy, Graham, and Guyberger. At that time, the Ryder Cup was U.S. versus Great Britain and Ireland. Competition was very one-sided. One of my duties was to carry the Ryder Cup from the clubhouse to the awards ceremony. Carrying the cup in the clubhouse, I was approached by Eamon Darcy, one of the golfers from Ireland. He said, "Let me hold the blanking thing. We'll never win it again." The next time the competition was held in the U.S., it was then changed to U.S. versus Europe, and it's not so one-sided anymore. From Burton Sexton, "I see London, I see Sanzi in France, I see Michael's MeUndies underpants." That's very good. From Brian in East New Market, Maryland, "I was listening to your podcast this afternoon. I kept hearing baby-like giggles, babble, and cooing throughout the show. All I could think of was man, is that Saliza? Why won't he just shut up? He always has to make himself heard. I then realized it was Bootsy, and I thought, how cute. Isn't it amazing how important perception is? A toddler's gibberish is adorable, but a childlike man's incessant talking when not spoken to is utterly annoying. Proverbial nails on a chalkboard. Eat it, Saliza. P.S. Good show, but I must admit the funniest thing said on it was when Feynman commented he was a neutral observer. At least I try to be. I almost did something in my pants and laughed at her. That's part of his ilk's problem. Their comments are impartial, even though they're far from it. I'm part of that ilk." From Mark Hoff in Durwood, Maryland, "Just to be clear, Mr. Tony, you thought the country that brought us U-boats and the Bismarck was a landlocked nation." Okay, I may have gotten that wrong. I'm sure I may have gotten
little,
that wrong.
Only a little?
I've gotten that wrong.
Believe I
Jim
that
Flynn
one.
In Colebrook, Connecticut. "Tony, little known historic fact. In the early 20th century, Brazil and Germany once signed a landlocked country alliance until they both discovered oceans there on their borders. Later in the century, some bad things happened." From Brett Lamp, "Hello, Dr. Grandpa. This is your West Coast millennial correspondent writing to clarify on a diet that you have obviously never heard of and characterized as dopey on your Friday show. It's called intermittent fasting, where people will fast, yes, that kind of fast, for 16 to 20 hours per day and eat only during certain hours. I, like you, was a skeptic, but I decided to give it a go as part of my 2018 New Year's resolution to get in shape for my upcoming wedding. Your invite is in the mail. Much to my surprise, I have dropped 32 pounds.
How about that?
Since what? January 1st, and I think that is in large part to the seemingly insane diet. Since my adoption of intermittent fasting, I've learned that not only Alex Smith, but many top-level athletes, fighters, and actors observe this diet. Dwayne The Rock Johnson is a famous proponent of intermittent fasting and has attributed his ability to maintain shape to a combination of that and what I know from his Instagram is an insane workout regimen." How about that?
I think Dom DeLuise also was an intermittent faster.
Will Shannon, Alexandria, Virginia.
We did that when I was a
Virginia.
Kid, but it was because we were poor.
"I noticed how Kavanaugh's yearbook said he was in the Malibu fan club. I guess this is a David Aldridge moment, because I, too, know as a member of the Malibu, Eat it, Saliza. From Ryan in Mercer, Pennsylvania, "Listening to the various artifacts reminds me of my own story." Oh, I'm sorry. "Listening to the various aircrafts reminds me of my own story of being in an aircraft. My experience involves paragliding over Cape Town, South Africa. While sitting in a chair in the sky over the traffic-filled streets of Cape Town makes me think how many talismans and amulets would it take for you to paraglide? Many.
Yeah, a lot.
Many. The haiku from Shad on the Ryder Cup, Tiger's Ryder Cup, the cart path to redemption is paved with potholes. From Ryan in St. Paul, Minnesota, "Geo's official line for the Brewers Sunday in a must win or to tie to surpass Wilbon's Cubs. 5 innings pitched, 3 hits, no runs, no earned, 1 walk, 2 strikeouts, 19 batters, 74 pitches. 43 strikes.
Yeah, that's lovely.
Pulled because starters only go through the order twice for the Brewers. Then they turn it over to the bullpen. It's the Blake Treinen effect.
Yeah,
it's killing me. If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white.
Jesus. Am I speaking Chinese?
Thanks, everybody. Thank you.
It's me.